And let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 11 and 15. Revelation 11 and 15. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is living and active and powerful. And it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Thank you, Father. 11:15, Revelation, it says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever.'" It's talking about something here in heaven that's yet to come. The seven angels sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven. Now, I've been talking to you about sound and the importance of sound and the effects of our sound, our voices rising up to the throne of heaven. It says here there were loud voices in heaven and they were saying something. They were saying something very important. With your voice, it's important that what you say lines up with the word. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. It's important that you speak this even prophetically because you know where we're going. We know where we're going. We know the end of the book. We know the end of the story. We know Jesus Christ. He's already spoken it to us. And he's spoken it to us in his word. The kingdoms of this world, there are kingdoms in this world, amen, but they're not of God. But it says the kingdoms of this world have become. They have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. In other words, don't get boggled down with the things that you see in this world, because I'm telling you, God's going to take it all and it's all his. He's going to redeem it all anyways, and you already know the end from the beginning. God has shown it to you. He knows all the end from the beginning, but he has revealed to you what he's revealed to you, so you understand that in the process of time there is a shift that continues to take place. And he says the kingdoms of this world become his, all of them, all of them. There is nothing that the enemy has that would be over and above our Lord and Savior. Nothing at all. He doesn't have anything that God hasn't already said in his word. That's mine. Oh, that's mine. He takes broken lives and says, that one's mine. Before it's ever, ever evident. Before there's any evidence of that life belonging to Christ. And I think you know some people like that. I'm sure we all know some people like that. He will see, he said, that one is mine. And if they're willing, there's always a willingness, if they're willing, God will take that life that looks just like the world, looks totally like the world, and transform it to bring him glory. And we are in the business of seeing that individual before they even see themselves. Are you with me? He says he does that towards kingdoms. How much more towards individuals? He says he does that with kingdoms. How much more with individual lives? But he's using us, and he wants to use us as people in this world to see, to partner with Christ, and to pull them out of the muck and the mire, to pull them out and to speak life and transformation. We are part of God's end time army. And as part of God's end time army, we need to be vessels that are willing and ready, armed and dangerous, ready to be used for God in his glory. Amen. So the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. And as Daniel was saved from the hungry lions, so have we. Daniel was saved. He was saved from the hungry lions, right? God shut the mouths of the lions because he was found innocent. Your walk in Christ is found innocent. You're actually pure and perfect in Christ. It's who you're called to be. It's what God's called you to be. Don't sit there and tell me that you're a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, and then God saved you by his grace and called you his saint. The right labels are important. The world's always going to try to label you wrongly. The enemy will make sure of it. But how are you going to fight a battle in the army of God with an arm tied behind you and the other one half crippled because a mindset is wrong? You can't. And that's the enemy's plan. Our identity in Christ is critical that we understand and we walk in. That we walk in the authority of who we are. Not everyone's going to understand it, and everyone's going to like it. Not everyone's going to receive or accept it, but it doesn't matter. You have to understand that you've been called set apart, the redeemed of the Lord, because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And your submission to Christ is what is so important, that you stay in a posture submitted to Christ, pure and holy before him. And as you do that, you qualify. You qualify in being part of the army of Christ. So Daniel was saved from the hungry lions, and God shut the mouths of the lions because he was found innocent. So shall your enemies be. So shall your enemies be who come against you and your family members. Somebody let the anointing of the Lord start to rise up on the inside of them right now in the name of Jesus. So shall your enemies be who come against you and your families. They come against you in one direction, but they are going to flee in seven ways, in seven directions. Why? Because the army of God is being built up, and they're rising up, and they're understanding, I'm not going to wear yesterday's label. I'm not going to wear yesterday's shame. I'm not going to wear yesterday's guilt. And I don't mean just yesterday, and you know that. I mean the past. I'm not going to allow the enemy's tactics to have its way in my mind, because I am new in Christ, and whom the Son sets free is free. Free indeed. Are you free in Christ? Are you free indeed? If you're free in Christ and you're free indeed, then don't let what the enemy wants to plague you with, so that you're robbed of this moment and what God wants to speak to you, because something just took place. Let it go. Be focused and let God speak to you even this very moment. So in Deuteronomy 28 and 7, this is where the scripture is found. Deuteronomy 28 and 7. The Lord will grant. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that will grant us all good gifts. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. You will see it. I love that, because right before you, you're going to see it. There's some things we just need to see. And God wants to make sure you see it. Why? Because he's the great defender. He's your great defender. He's your great victor. He's your victory, amen? They will come from you. They will come at you in one direction. They're going to flee in seven ways. They're going to flee before you seven ways. When you rise up understanding you're part of the end time army, when you recognize that the Lord has said in his word, he says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and I'm part of that end time army. There is nothing too difficult for the Lord. The enemy, though, he tries to come against you and your family. He's going to flee seven ways. Now, it is your job to decree that, to declare that, and to tell the enemy, you don't get to have your way in my family. You don't get to have your way at all. I don't care. I see your work. It's not that we're blind. It's not that we can't see it. We see it. We know it. We see the work of the enemy. We're just saying that's not the end story. That's not the end. This is not what it's going to look like. This is not the end. Say it's not the end. What I see today is not the end. The enemy has to flee how many ways? Seven ways. How many ways? He has to flee seven ways. He comes at you one way, but he's got to go seven ways. In other words, he's going to run scared straight. Because he recognizes, my God, they believe what they say. My God, they believe the Bible. That's right. We do. We do. 100%. Thank you, Lord. For the Lord delivers and he rescues. We thank you that all of our strength is found in you, Jesus. The Lord delivers. The Lord rescues. He ransoms and he redeems. He restores and he flourishes whom he desires. Whom he desires. Which is us, which is his beloved, which is his, those that are bought with his blood. Are you bought with the blood of Jesus? Has the blood of Jesus redeemed you, saved you, set you free? You've been forgiven by the blood. We've been forgiven. We've been redeemed. You have been purchased by the blood. Something that the enemy can never take part in. Never. Never, ever. But we thank you, Lord, that we've been chosen before the foundation of the earth. Thank you, Father. Deuteronomy 33:3. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread upon their high places. I don't care how high their high places are. In other words, I don't care how strong and fortified those walls are. I don't care how long those walls have been there. I don't care how difficult. I don't care how many layers. I don't care how thick they are, because the Lord has already spoken in his word, and we know that the enemy shall submit to whom? To us. to us. Your enemy shall submit to you. He's already submitted to Jesus Christ. He already was demolished by the work on the cross. Jesus already dismantled the powers and principalities at the cross. Jesus already did the work.
The Lord loves a hilarious giver. In his word, he talks about hilariously giving. And I've got to say, because of people like you, God has expanded the ministry's reach to where we are now in 236 million homes preaching the gospel for Jesus Christ. This is incredible. And I wanted to take a moment right now and encourage some of you that have not yet decided to become a partner, a monthly partner, that this would be an incredible time for you to jump in and become a monthly partner with us here at this ministry. The gospel is being preached and people's lives are being changed. And I am excited to where the Lord is taking this ministry. Is it because of us? No, it's all because of Jesus Christ and faithful partners like you. God bless you as you pray and become a monthly partner.
When he rose again, he demolished all demonic powers and principalities, and he recognized he is defeated. So what does he do? Then he tries against you, those that have committed their lives to Jesus, those that have committed their lives and said, I belong to Jesus. He goes against you. Why? Because you have to recognize that the enemy, your enemies, shall submit to you. The enemy has to submit to you. See, the enemy has to submit to me. You shall tread. You know the Bible tells you shall tread upon snakes and scorpions, right? You shall tread upon their high places. This is a similar scripture based on that. Why? Because snakes and scorpions are a picture of demonic powers in opposition that try to come against you. They are a picture. And so we have to understand, this is all symbolic. If you are supposed to trample upon high places, that means places that want to get you back in sin. That means places that want to get you to compromise. That means places that want to get you to doubt who you are in Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? Places that the enemy, tactics that he tries to set out, and he knows our past, and he knows exactly what will work and what will not work. Correct? And so we have to recognize we have all authority to trample upon those high places. But we have to use and utilize what I'm referring to. Amen? If we walk in the truth of God's word, if we walk in the truth of this word, which this word is a sword, a double-edged sword, it's going to cut and it's going to heal as we use it. Are we all following what I'm saying? So he says, your enemies will submit to you and you shall tread upon their high places. Then we recognize something. God has made us the head, not the tail. He has made us the head and not the tail. And if he has made us the head and not the tail, then we know that we are victorious at every single turn. Every single turn. Amen? Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and I want you to tell them, the enemy has no place in my life. Nope, no place anymore. I want you to turn to somebody else and I want you to say, you're going to trample down his high places. Deuteronomy 33:29. That's where it's found. Deuteronomy 33:29. I didn't hear anybody say it, so I was like, I don't know if they're still looking or not. Deuteronomy 33:29, your enemies. You know, in this version, because there's this, I'm not sure, this is the CEV. It says, they will cringe before you. They will cringe before you. I typically read the New King James. They will submit, right, to you. This is, but I like this word picture. Your enemies will cringe before you, but you will trample down their high places. Amen. But, yeah. Glory to God. Mark that scripture. Mark that scripture. Let it be known. Let it be known of whom you are called to be, where you are called to stand. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and we're part of that end time army. We do so in purity of heart, though. We do so as we stand. We don't cower. Don't cower. Don't let fear and tactics of fear or discouragement get a hold of you. Don't let pride or arrogance have its way in you. Don't cower. Don't submit to him. Let him submit. Let the enemy submit to you. He should be doing what? Cringing because you woke up. Fearful because you showed up. When you really start to believe this is when you start to see the fruit of it. When you really start to believe this, and then you start to see the fruit of it. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We have more power on the inside of us than most people walk in. There is so much more power on the inside of us than I think most people even recognize and that they will even walk in. Thank you, Father. Deuteronomy 1:11 says, may the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are, than you are today. 1,000 times more numerous than you are today. And bless you. Amen. And bless you as he has promised you. Not only does God want to make you numerous, prosperous, he wants to bless you as he's already promised that he would. The life that we live in Christ is a life that is filled with his beautiful, glorious goodness. Filled. We don't look at circumstances, we look at the promise. You know, God wants to make you so hilariously blessed that you become a blesser to other people. Not just enough for you, but one that's going to bless others. Amen? Blessed beyond measure. Blessed, hilariously blessed, so that you have something also to give other people, right? And it's not just finances. I'm talking about just your strength that you have in Christ. I'm talking about your ability to be able to speak to that which is dead, to that which is lost, to that which is squelched, to a dream that somebody has that is just pushed aside and discouragement is taken over, but yet you have eyes to see. Why? Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have something to give to yourself and to somebody else. Now, not everybody is willing to receive it. They may not be ready. But at the same time, you don't back down. You know you are what? You are a pillar. We are the mouthpiece of God. We are the army of God. We are going forward to do the will of God. He didn't have to use us. He could have just done it all himself. But he chose to work through the body of Christ. He chose to work through us. Are we willing to, and are we ready to accept this? But many of you have already accepted this. You're like, that's, I understand that. That's my calling. I get it, and I want to do it. But at the same time, there are levels to you understanding and walking in the fullness of that. And I believe that God is trying to take you from where you are today and understanding your call to a whole nother place, higher grounds. Higher grounds require a more solidified understanding of the word in you, the living word in you. Amen? So I decree this scripture over you in Deuteronomy 1:11. I decree it over you. And I decree for you to receive the fullness of this. May the Lord God of your forefathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are today and bless you as he has promised you. God does not break his promises to us. He is a promise keeper. He does not break his promises. Amen. And he says, thank you, Father, for your word. And in Genesis 12, you can jump over to Genesis 12 really quick. Genesis 12, we have another scripture that just backs up what I got done saying right now. Thank you, Lord. Genesis 12, starting in verse 1. It says, now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family. There has to be a separation sometimes. Now, not everyone is called to literally leave the land of which they were brought up in and their family completely, but some are called to do that. You know our story. We were called to do that, to leave, literally leave, right? Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. He is calling you to a place you do not know, even if it's still here where you are dwelling. He's calling you to new heights. He's calling you to new understanding. He's calling you to a deeper understanding, a revelatory understanding of who you're called to be. He says, to a new land that I will show you, I will make you a great nation. Did you think this was just for Abram? This is not just for Abram. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Did we not just read in Deuteronomy 1:11 that he's caused you to be a blessing? He says, I will bless you. In Genesis 12 and verse 2, I will bless you and make your name great. Why? Because it's the name of Jesus that you carry. It's the name of Jesus that you are going to exalt. He says, I will make your name great. He says this to people that he knows he can trust, that will exalt the name of the Lord and not their own. I mean, you see it all in the news. So many Christian ministries, pastors, preachers, all fivefold ministers, worship leaders, falling left and right. And it's a disgrace because they wanted to make their name great. Many of them wanted to make their own name great. Secret agendas, maybe not spoken, but it's revealed. Why? Because the fruit is evident. Give it time. Just give it time. Fruit always is apparent. Whether it's good fruit or whether it's bad fruit, it becomes very apparent. Unfortunately, it's becoming apparent for many, many in the Christian world. It's an embarrassment even to children, some of our kids that maybe are not walking with the Lord yet. And it's like, we just need to keep praying. Keep your eyes on Jesus. There are places set apart. There are. Of course, the enemy wants to highlight all the, but it's just a shame that there's so many that are falling apart in sin, in grotesque sin. Deliberate sin. God wants you to be a blessing, not a curse. He wants your life blessed so you can be a blessing. He didn't bless you with gifts and callings and talent so that you can destroy lives. And shamefully, that is what's taken place in a lot of the Christian world. And it should not be. It grieves the heart of the Father. It is not at all okay. And the fact that things are being exposed is a good thing. Because the church needs to wake up and recognize we are called to walk in purity. We are called to walk in obedience to the word. We are not called to be part of the popular group. We are called to walk purely before God. And as you do that, there is what's called the blessing of God that comes upon you, so that you can be a blessing to people all around you. So here he spoke this to Abram, but he's speaking this to all of us. He says, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless you to be a blessing. You are blessed so that you can be a blessing. He says, I will bless you, verse 2, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. There is a way to walk in prosperity, and in every sense of that word, financially, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, every way, every sense of that word. There is a way of walking in the blessing so that you have something to give to someone else. God has ordained it. He has initiated it. So therefore, it's possible. Say, it's possible. Just need to keep our eyes on Jesus and need to keep our heart right before him. And as we stay submitted to Christ and stay in his word, don't let the flesh rule. Keep the flesh dead. Flesh is supposed to die anyway. Keep it dead, right? We let Christ rule in and through us. What God has already spoken, that you're a part of the end time army, will come to pass. Because on the flip side of that, we have generals in the faith that have ended well and have finished well or are finishing well. We're going to be part of that. We're going to be part of that where we end well. It's not how we began. It is how you end a thing that is more important. Thank God for that, because many of us, all of us, began completely in sin, broken, and with nothing to give. Nothing of value anyway. Nothing of eternal value anyway. But then Jesus stepped in. It's not how you begin, it's how you end that matters. And that's something that is in our control as we partner with Christ. That's in our control, how we end a matter. We end a matter in a way that we call, what God calls pure. Verse 3, it says, and I will bless those who bless you. Not only are you blessed to be a blessing, but he's going to bless those who bless you. You become blessed. You're blessed back. Do you see the heart of God in all of this? When we walk uprightly before the Lord, so that not only are you blessed so that you can be a blessing, but then there is a blessing that continues to be restored back unto you, given back unto you. And it comes forth in every place. There's joy. In the midst of sorrow, there's joy. In the midst of pain, there's joy. There's peace. In the midst of confusion, there's peace. In the midst of chaos, isn't that a blessing of God? Isn't that the one of the blessings of God? To have joy in the midst of heartache, to have peace in the midst of darkness, isn't that a couple of the blessings of God? I am telling you, we are people that are to walk the right road, understanding who we are in Christ. And it's all in Christ. Amen? But then he doesn't stop there. At the end of verse 3, he says, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. Thank you, Father. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. That cycle that just continues. You're blessing them. He's blessing them. They're blessing you. It's a continual cycle. But then he says, and I will curse him who curses you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He spoke this to Abram, which then his name changed to Abraham, and all the blessings of Abraham are ours. The New Testament tells us that the blessings of Abraham are ours. You are called by God to be an end time army, an agent of the Lord, to walk in the high calling of God, recognizing Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have what I need. I am never in lack. God has already ordained it, and I'm going to walk in the fullness of it. Amen? Somebody shout amen. Use your voice to come in agreement with the living word of God. Amen? Amen. Let's turn quickly to Psalm 20. Psalm 20, because I want to just speak this psalm over you, because this is a short but very powerful psalm that just is filled with the blessing of the Lord. And may, it starts with verse 1 where it says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Father, right now I thank you that you are called, you've said in your word, you will answer them in the day of trouble. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. He is your defender. He is your defender. The King of Kings is your defender. Amen. Don't let a strategy or a tactic of the enemy stab you or put something within you where you feel that pain. He is your defender. Your job is to stay right in right standing with Christ. May he send you help from the sanctuary. Glory to God. From the sanctuary? Yes, from the sanctuary, the Most High God, where we dwell in the secret places with him, from the sanctuary of his presence, from the throne of heaven. May he send you help from where our help comes from, the sanctuary, our Lord. Our maker, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. May he send, he says, may he send you help from the sanctuary. Oh God, I thank you. Oh Lord God, we give you the praise. May he remember all of your offerings, both financially, both those that they've been a labor of love, a sacrifice of love. May he remember your offerings where you offered yourself as a living, fragrant offering. Some of you know what I mean, some of you don't. May that fragrance rise up. May he remember all of your offerings. Those that were sown in tears. those that were offered up in brokenness. The vows that you made when you were desperate, may he remember your offerings. You following what I'm saying? And accept your burnt sacrifices. Selah. You pause. And you let God speak it into your spirit. And you let it become absorbed within you. Selah. Pause. Meditate. Take it in. That's what that means. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We all have purpose. May he. That's a blessing of God. This is a blessing of God in Psalm 20 and verse 4. May he grant you according to your heart's desire. Do you have desires? Of course you do. We all do. We have desires, some that we have not seen come to pass yet. Some that we have seen come to pass, but not all of them. But when the word of truth, when God Almighty takes the time to have written in his word, his holy book, that what he wants, this is the will of God, right? Yes, this is the will of God. His word is his will. It's his last will and testimony. It's his will. When his will is stated here, may he grant you according to your heart's desires. Amen. Who authored this but the Spirit of God? He wants you to have your heart's desires and, of course, your heart that's been purified before the Lord. Yes. Your heart that now walks with him, of course. But he wants you sanctified, purified with the desires of your heart. Because you're new now. Your heart is made new in him. And that you fulfill all your purpose. The purposes that God has put on the inside of you. And everyone has purpose. And not just one purpose. But may he fulfill all of your purpose. Verse 5. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Yes, and we know that his banner over us is love. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. All of your petitions? You mean all of your asks? Yes. All of your crying out? Yes. Those that are in right standing in the will of God, may he fulfill those petitions. How many of you prayed and prayed and prayed? You've got petitions out there. You have for years. But may he fulfill those petitions. This is the will of God. Say, this is the will of God. I serve a good God, and he is faithful. Amen. Glory to God. Now I know, verse 6, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven. He will answer him with the saving strength of his right hand. With the saving strength of his right hand. We know that the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. That is a scripture. That the right arm of the Lord doeth valiantly. There is nothing too difficult for our King. Nothing at all. And he goes on in verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, right? But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In other words, we're going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. We will trust in the name of the Lord our God. He will fulfill your dreams. He will call you into the places that he's called you to be even before the foundations of the earth. He is the one that has set you ablaze for his heart on fire. Why do you have a burning heart for God? Because he has called you to it. You just said yes, but he did the work. He did the work of drawing you by the Holy Spirit. We can't come unto the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws us. That's the word of God. That's what the word says. Amen? Amen. But he's drawing. He's drawing. He's not just drawing you. He's drawing your loved ones. How do you know? Because you speak it out prophetically. You speak it out. This whole chapter that we're reading here, may the Lord answer you. May he send you help from heaven. May he remember your offerings. May he accept your burnt sacrifices. This is a prophetic call that we are to take and step into and speak that out over those that we are praying for as well. And recognize that which God has said and spoken over us, we also now then therefore go and do the same for others. Did I not say we're part of the end time army? This is how we do it. So some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. That word remember means trust. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. That means we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Glory to God. And we know that he will. We know that he does. This is what his hand does. This is what his hand, he tells us this. And in his word, in Ephesians 3 and 18, you can turn there if you like, but talks about our seed. May your seed and your seed's seed, and I just speak this prophetically over you right now. May your seed and your seed's seed know. May they know the width and the length and the depth and the height of his unending love. According to this word, Ephesians 3:18, may they be able to comprehend with all the saints that which is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. Pray it. This is a powerful scripture to pray it. If you pray this scripture for your loved ones, you will start to see the walls fall down. I have prayed this scripture over and over. Walls have fallen down. Walls, fortified walls, have fallen down. Walls that seemed to not want to budge not one bit have fallen down. Now recognize, we can't force somebody's will, but we can start dismantling walls. I can't make you do something just as you can't make me do anything either. Right? But we can start to dismantle the walls, especially in the area of your authority. You have authority. In the area that God is, we have authority in Christ, period. Right? And then you have authority over the domain that God has given you. Bible talks about we have dominion on this earth against the beasts, against the those that prowl on this earth. We have dominion over this earth. And we have dominion, which means we have authority and power, against the wiles and the tactics of the enemy that try to destroy our loved ones. We have authority. And though I can't make somebody do what I want them to do, I can start dismantling those walls, which means I can exercise my authority and tear down those walls. Why? Because the love of God will break in. The love of God, they want the love of God. They just don't know how to get there. They just don't know how. But when you pray this scripture, Ephesians 3:18, when you start praying this, that they would be able to comprehend. They need to be able to comprehend. They need to be able to understand. If you're going to be part of the end time army, then you need to know how to fight. You need to know that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty in God to pull down strongholds. How do we pull down strongholds? By using the word of the Lord, which is our sword. By using the word of God, which is the sword, you're pulling down strongholds. And when you speak this scripture, that they may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, and the depth, the height of the love of God. Amen? In Ephesians 3:20, may you see his hand work in your life. I just want to pray this over you right now, that may you see. I'm going to have you all stand actually right now. May you see. Father, let them see. Some of them see, some of them don't. Not yet. But Father, I'm asking right now that each and every person present here in this room, as well as those watching and be a part of us online, may they see your hand at work in their lives right now, because you're faithful. May they see your hand at work in their lives right now. Even something may have happened on the way to church. Maybe something took place yesterday that was causing them to not focus fully. But at this very moment, Father God, may they see your hand at work in their life. May they come boldly before your throne of grace, day by day and moment by moment, coming boldly before your throne of grace, knowing that you are able, oh God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that they would have ever have asked, all that they would have ever have thought, and the Amplified, dreamed or imagined, all above and beyond. May they know that we serve an above and beyond God, all above and beyond, because of the power of God that works in us. That is the power of the Holy Spirit that is working on the inside of us. Lord, I thank you. They will know. They will see. They will see your hand at work in their lives, oh God. We know this. We know that because what the enemy meant for evil, God, you are working for good. You are working it for good, everything that the enemy meant for evil. And so we claim back that which rightfully belongs to us. We prayed it. We prayed it over and over while I was down ministering to you, that every place that the locust has stolen, I prayed it individually for some of you, but we decree that corporately over all of you right now, that every area that the enemy has come and stolen, robbed, destroyed, made a mockery of, that the Lord will restore everything that the enemy has stolen. Thank you, Father, because in Genesis 50, it says, where the enemy meant for evil, God will work it for good. And it is all to the saving grace of other people, so that salvation may ring true in your households, that salvation may ring true in your families, in your extended families, that salvation may ring true everywhere you go, that you will bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because we have one main reason for being here on earth, and that is to bring people to heaven and to populate heaven. We have one main reason. You're saved. You're set apart. You understand who you are in Christ. Now we need to reach the lost. We need to be able to give out the gospel. We need to not be stumbled by the exterior and instead be able to press in to who they are in Christ, even though they're not there yet. You need to be able to see it before it's evident. You need to be able to see it. We do this as we keep our hearts pure before Christ. Don't get into self-righteous pride. Don't think, well, I'm so much better than them. Father, right now, I thank you that with hearts that break for you, that you will give an increased understanding of how to speak to those that do not know you yet and bring them into the kingdom. Lord God, because I thank you, Lord God, our work is to save many people alive. This is what Genesis 50 says. What the enemy meant for evil, God will work for good. What the enemy meant for evil, God will work for good. But the end of that says to save many people alive. It's for salvation. It's for people to enter the kingdom. It is not just so that you can have a bigger house. It is for salvation, so that the lives of the people that God has already called and chosen are turned around in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I bless them, Father God. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you call us pillars. But these pillars are supernatural, because we move about. We're not stationary. And everywhere we go, spiritually, we're a pillar. We're a source of strength and stability to people that either need to know you for the first time or need to deepen their walk with you. And what you've poured into us, we will be faithful to pour it back out unto them, because we once were those people that needed someone to live life, to live Christ before our eyes. And so you now, Father, are calling us to do the very same thing. And we gladly do this. And we are confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us is faithful. You who have begun a good work in us, he's begun a good work in you. He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it, to finish it. He is the completer. He is the finisher. He will complete it. He will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will finish it. So, Lord, I thank you for your equipping. I thank you that you have equipped us. I thank you that you have awakened some that needed to be awakened of their main mission in Christ is to be that godly example and to win souls. To be that godly example, to love on people, not to affirm sin, but to call forth the beauty and the gold, the purity. Thank you, Abba. We receive it. We ask you to, the greatest teacher of all, to lead us and to teach us. That we would, like Jesus, be able to say that, Father, all that you have brought to me, I did not lose, not one. That we would be able to say, like Jesus said, Father, all that you have brought unto me, I have not lost, not one. Make us sensitive that every step we take, we recognize where our assignments are. If we are the army of God, then we're going forth to rescue the lost. It's not just so that we can sit in a bigger mansion and have more power or more authority. It's to rescue the lost. So I thank you, Father, that we get it. And with Christ leading us, we will be sensitive to do, to say what you've called us to. And we will see the good fruit. We will see good fruit. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Glory to God.